week we began to look at the subject, greater works. Praise the Lord. I quickly go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, this time verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. That word teaching is didaskalia in the Greek, which means explanation. And that means when I'm reading the scriptures, pay attention to this, I must not read to quote from it. I must read to be taught. You understand? I must read to be what? To be taught. So they taught. Because the reason for your Bible is so that you can be taught. The Bible is not for quoting, like I mentioned. The Bible is not for solving problems. So you go and look for the Bible and say, what verse is he talking about? Just for any verse, peace. Peace. Oh, there shall be peace for me in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not what the Bible is for. It's for being taught. Notice how Jesus handled the Bible. Now, when I say the Bible, I refer to the Old Testament books. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 25 to 27. Verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Hath not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now notice that Jesus did not teach subjects. So one of the problems we have, one of the problems that I've seen, let me just say that, amongst a lot of ministers I know, a lot of them, is that they started out, and that's not wrong, studying subjects in the Bible. So as they grew, many didn't know that the Bible is not a subject book. It's a subject book. You get it? Not subjects. There's just one singular subject, and he is a person. Every other subject is found in that subject. So a couple of people, you know, they did subject study, and Jesus didn't do subject study here. What he did is that he went through all the scriptures. All the scriptures. Now, Paul initially had told Timothy in verse 15, as from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus goes through them. And so Paul said to Timothy, he said, salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So the word, the subject in Christ. So I'll say in Christ. So notice he didn't do subject study. Second thing you should notice that he went through the entire Bible. Any doctrine you teach must run through the test of the entire Old Testament. It must be well tested there. Now that's it. Go to chapter the same chapter, verse 45. So he taught. So teaching is exhaustive. So my teaching is exhaustive. In teaching, you exhaust. You exhaustively go through the Bible. Look at verse 45. Verse 45 says, then he, same thing he did in verse 44, then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So you have the word understand how many times there? Huh? Understand, notice. But there are two different words. Okay? He opened he their understanding. So let's look at the three words. There are three key words there. Open he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So there are three words I want us to examine. The first word is, he opened their understanding. Now that's what you call in normal day their mind or mindset. You have the Greek word N-O-U-S, nohus, mindset. So I'll say mindset. Now the word understanding there deals with a set of knowledge you already have. Or better still, your mode of determining things. How do you determine things? There's a mindset. So the understanding there is a mindset that you have that is a set of knowledge that makes you determine things. For example, if you're a doctor, and then you have a knowledge that's been passed across to you, then when you see someone, you regularly say, the guy says, are you fine? The guy says, I'm okay, I'm cool. And then you say, no, your eyes are yellow. Oh, yellow. Ah, yeah, I saw it yesterday. I just thought that that is because of the way I slept. The man said no. Now, why is he responding like that? He has a mindset, a knowledge that makes he or she determine things. So, he says he opened he their understanding. That is a mode of determining things. It's also a product of experience. Right? A mindset. For instance, some people they were brought up to be scared of man. To be scared of man. And then they tell you as you're growing up, African parents will say, be careful for men, oh boys, oh. And they tell you things like, if they touch you, you'll be pregnant. You know, some scary and silly things like that. And then, I say, how are you? I say, fine. You move away. Then you observe that they're touching all the girls in your class, and they don't come in the next week, bulge your stomach. So you begin to wonder, what did they tell me? But you see, you were acting based on a mindset, something that you were told that made you determine things, made you evaluate things, a mindset. Okay? Sometimes it's from your experience. Tell you some folks, for instance, have had a bad experience in some churches. And so they just silly words like all pastors are the same. Very stupid statement. Like someone's, all men are dogs. I said, including your dad. You know, that's a very silly way of talking, you know. So they have a mindset about things. A mindset. Okay? So he said, he opened he their mindset. Now wait for this. Now, that same word mindset is what we have in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that says we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have the mindset of Christ. In other words, we have Christ's way of determining things. Because that scripture there refers to how we interpret the Old Testament. We have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, let me explain what the mind of Christ is in there. The mind of Christ refers to the epistles and also to the Spirit of Christ in you. The epistles. We have the mind of Christ. Now, that said, so he opened he their understanding that they might understand. So the next word is not nohus. The next word is the word sunemi. S-U-N-I-E-M-I. Sunemi. It means to perceive. That they might perceive. That don't forget, they already have a mindset. Every time people come to church, every time people come, they have a mindset. This is what teaching does. You already have a mindset. Some of you have a mindset about Jesus. Some have a mindset about God. You know, maybe God is just, I thought something last year, I think it was late last year. What does God really want? You grow up and you say, what does God really want? You get born again, he said he's not satisfied. You live right, he said he's not satisfied, yeah, he's still not holy. What exactly does he want? Now that came up, or that comes up, because of a mindset that you have been told, for instance, about salvation. You have a mindset, for example, you have a mindset that God was the one, for example, who drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea. It's a mindset that you will get from the Old Testament. That God's the one, you know, who is killing the thunder, stuff like that. It's a mindset. If you read the Old Testament, the way people read it, you come out with a God who is just blood hungry, bloodthirsty. He seems delighted when blood is taken. It's a mindset. So these folks, as Jesus is talking to them, they already have a mindset. As I'm teaching this morning, I know some people listen to me, they already have a mindset. So what does teaching do? What does it do? So they had a mindset that they might understand to perceive. Now the word understand was sunyemi. In the Greek, it means to put facts together. To put facts together, then perceive it, is the exact opposite of foolishness. It's to put facts together. In other words, they had a mindset from the scriptures. Jesus now helped them to put the facts together. Hallelujah. We have a series like that we taught law in Genesis. We've heard it before. Law in Genesis. It helps you understand the character of God. I said, why? Oh, what? You know? He could say, you mean? Oh my God. Now that means you had a mindset. A mindset. I, for instance, when I was younger as a believer, I didn't want to grow spiritually. I'll tell you why. Happy clappy I was, till there was a brother who was a spirit conco, you know, spirit conco. And then he comes out, you know the story, I've said it so many times because it means so much to me. And the brother came out and then his eyes were bulgy like someone Mayweather dealt with him alone. Floyd Mayweather. And then Floyd Mayweather, Mike Tyson, Joe Frazier, everybody just took him out at the same time. And it was Evander Holyfield. And Sugar Ray Leonard. You know them? And what's this other guy? Rocky Marciano. All of them facing at the same time. So I asked, what happened to bro so-and-so? They said, it's a spiritual attack. And I said, why? They said, you know, at that level of spirit, God puts you in a spiritual level. Begin to deal with. I said, thank you. I don't want to grow. How can I wake up Monday, my eyes are bulging? He says, because I'm growing spiritually. That's absolute nonsense. So I had a mindset. So, there's a mindset you have about God. And those who told me didn't know any better because they were given the mindset. Those who told them didn't know any better because they were given the mindset. From there, you know, generation upon generation upon generation, they just doesn't know better. And there's a mindset, but what did Jesus do for them? He helped them put the facts together. So that's what teaching does. You know, put it together. Then you bring the solve the puzzles, as it were. So, the next word is, he opened he their understanding. That word open is the key word there. That's what teaching was. So, the teaching. And I've been saying this, in God helping us in a couple of days, we're going to take a dramatic turn in our services. And I'll tell you a dramatic turn. Why? Because I was saying this, and I this is by the way, but it's important that, you know, it's interesting how we have reduced church services to customer care. You know, you call in, then you dictate. I want this one. Then they stay online. Customer care service. Then you, this is what you want. So we shortened our services to please people. You get it? Some people don't come to this church because they think our services are long. Do you know why? They have an option. If they didn't have an option, they would not go. You follow what I'm saying? They will not go because they will know that when something is called church, it's a place where you receive teaching. Let me give you this. Do you know that in the Bible, Jesus used to teach morning till night, till evening? Do you know what this is about? Most of his congregation were not believers. Now, you need to read the epistles, the Acts of the Apostles, and so discover that they used to teach that long. So, what happened along the line? We began to run customer care centers. So, you dictate. I know some of you must have told, maybe the person who invited you to church, I'm not going to stay longer. In the next 1.5 hours, I will have to leave. You know why you said that? Because you have a wrong mindset about what church is. Church is a place that you dedicate a long time for. And when you're going home, you have so much to think about. That's what church does to people. You don't dash into a service and dash out. It's not a mall where you cherry pick. No. If you know, I put out something on the social media, I don't know if you read it, and I spoke to young ministers, and I said, and I traced the history of when that started. Many of you probably weren't Christians there, some of you were not even born. But you see, there was a time church services in Nigeria, this country, this Lagos, would start in the morning and finish in the afternoon. And nobody hurried out. And we used to have Sunday school. Right? Then you have workers' meetings. Then you have church services. Then you got workers' meetings again. Then after the service, you now go and check up those who did not come to church. But somehow along the line, because we wanted more people to come, we now said, first service. We also do first service. First service. Some people started first service. They call it business service. In fact, somebody said, I saw someone flyer on the run service. 6:07 to 7:35. Just to have a crowd. How would the church service be 1 hour? That's an unserious church. Are you under persecution? It's not really funny. Do you know China? I showed you a video on China, did I? Do you know China, where they killed them for serving Jesus? Their services are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I thought I showed you a video. China has the largest concentration of believers in the world. Their revival is so genuine, and they have very few Bibles. So if you are going there, you must quote. Not the one you'll be saying, someone was saying yesterday, somewhere in the Bible, you will quote from the Bible. So we must not follow the wrong examples. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's to draw crowds. Yes, we want crowds. We're going to be thousands and thousands in our services in a short while. I said we're going to be thousands and thousands in our services in a short while. We're going to hold a meeting in this country where 1 million people will sit down and they will hear the word of God, and then they will flow with the Spirit in Nigeria. Mark it down, the days are coming soon. 1 million people will sit down and they will have Holy Ghost meetings, the way we have our camp meetings. Praise God. Shortly. Shortly. But you see, we mustn't draw crowds with anything but the word of God. Some people will leave our services. I don't want you to raise your hand, but you come back again. You say, if I want to know Jesus, let me go to that church. You will come back. So really, I said, you know, and there's nothing wrong in wanting to attract people. God wants us to. But don't do it with any kind of method. Don't reduce the spiritual quality of your services to draw people. People will never become spiritual that way. I saw some of you came to the service and they were giving you Bibles outside. What were you thinking when you were coming? What was on your mind? FA Cup? No, I'm not joking. Or what? How would you be going to school without your writing, your books? What were you going to do? Just like going to try to drive a car without a key. What were you going there to do? You ought to know that when you are going to church, they are going to use the Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why we don't put scriptures on the wall for you. Like I said, we are not under persecution. You bring your Bible. Or is anybody going to arrest you on the road with your Bible? What I do with the Bible? No, that's going to happen. It's never going to happen. Do you know, in Boko Haram areas, people were holding services in the midst of the tumult. And they will be there and they will pray and do Bible study. Your own is very simple. It's just getting to a bus or getting to your car and park and come inside. And even pose and going to church. I hope you are learning something from that. God wants a new direction in our churches, that we should focus a lot on Bible teaching. Praise the Lord. Well, where were we? So open, right? That's the word. That's the key word I said. Open. Now, it's a very important word. It's the word dianego. Let me spell it for you. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. You know, dia is like to split into two, right? To split into two. So, what is used for, wait for this. It's used for the deaf. Matthew's Gospel 7:34. When Jesus said, Ephphatha, be open. Remember? Remember that? Be open. That is open. It's used for the opening of the womb. The opening of the womb. Luke's Gospel 2:23. You see it there. Also, it's used to describe when you recognize something for the first time. Luke's Gospel 24:31. Remember when Jesus met those folks on the road and then their eyes were opened and they recognized it was Jesus. Luke 24:31. It's also used for explanation. Now go to Luke's Gospel 24:32. And he said to one another, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Remember in 31, their eyes were opened. That is, they recognized him for the first time in that discussion. Again, 32, he said, he opened to us the scriptures. Daniel goes the word there. No, it goes, sorry. Is the word. Now, you see it used. Notice that. This is explanation. Acts 7:56, when Stephen said, the heavens were opened and I saw the Son. That's Jesus Christ. Dianoigo. You see it also in Acts 16:14. Dorcas, our heart was opened by the Lord. Acts 16:14. Whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened our heart. Then Acts 17:3 is very key. Acts 17:3. This is Paul preaching. Acts 17:3:2 says, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Okay? Now, notice this. The word open here, you know, I can, what open here, this is the limit, David. Like I said, it's used for the deaf. Now, particularly, not just for the deaf, for the person hearing for the first time, and then for the womb is the firstborn from the womb. So the same thing we've read so far. Every time you see Dianoigo, it is used for something that is new. That is that no child had been through that womb before. No son had come through those ears before. So that is, there was a mindset they had. So he opened their understanding. In other words, he introduced a new perspective to them. He opened, that is, something they had never seen before. They had never seen it like this before. That they might understand. So they put the facts together. So, that means, if it's the word open already shows us that, watch this, it's fresh, it's new. So therefore, what it does is that it unbundles your initial thinking. It takes care of your initial way of thinking. It upsets it. So in teaching, you acquire a new level of thinking. Another thinking. So it means that being taught is a transformation. Your thinking changes. In other words, look at this. That means the scriptures are written to affect the way you see things. So, teaching is the way that happens. Are you following me? Are you following me? Alright. So, when you come to the service, you come for a change of mindset. That's what you come for. Let's go further. Now, look at how long it takes. That shows you that it is not a touch and go principle. Changing the way you think is a rigorous principle. It's a rigorous process. That's why Jesus went through all the scriptures. Look at Acts 1:3. For how long did he do this? Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, verse 3. Is it out there? For how long? He did this for 40 days. How many days? 40 days. I said, oh wow. 40 days. How many can attend a 40 days Bible teaching? 40 days. Praise God. Some people do honeymoon for 2 weeks. Though in the Old Testament, if you're a soldier, it's 1 year. Old Testament. Then he asked them, we're going to be at, they go for honeymoon 1 week, 2 weeks. We're going to so and so place to go and pray. So they say, why? Why is it that long? The person needs a diagnose in the way he or she thinks. There's a mindset that spiritual things should be easy. That's a mindset you have to correct. So for 40 days, look at Acts 2:42. So the teaching takes time. It changes my mindset. Look at this, Acts 2:42. And they continue, this was after salvation, after they had received Christ, they're born again. And they continue steadfastly. Look at the word steadfastly there. That means continually. Where? In the apostles' teaching. Now, the word teaching here is a bit different. It's the word didache. You know, dida is, get an explanation. Didache, which is D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Now, didache is a very key word because we're coming back to it. It looks like a manual. Didache is a set of instructions. That is, it was a uniformity in what was taught. Didache. The emphasis in didache is what is taught. It's like a manual, a curriculum. So it appears like what they did was a continued what Jesus taught them. Didache. It infers what you can call, better state of format. They seem to continue. So you can see that they weren't teaching as they were led. You just wake up one morning and say, this week we are going to preach on romance. Because that's what people want. The next week we'll preach on how to survive economic crisis in postmodern world. How to take advantage. We'll talk about buying shares in the services. Then the week after, you know, you just begin to say, this is what I'm led to preach. That actually means there is something that ought to be taught that was taught. A format for teaching. Work on an organized format of teaching. You don't just come up in church to teach what you think you should say. There's a format for teaching. Look at Acts 11. So when people receive Christ, the next thing that ought to happen to them is that they ought to be taught. So they be taught. So they be taught. That's the next thing that ought to happen to a man. After salvation, he's born again now, he needs to be taught. Acts 11, are you there? Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Alright? So what happened? In verse 24. Verse 25, pardon me. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul, or seek Saul, that's Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto where? I'll wait for you. He brought him unto where? Okay? And it came to pass that what happened? Huh? A whole what? A whole? What happened? They assembled themselves with the church and taught who? Much people. So they had turned to the Lord. So for 1 year, they taught people. And the disciples, in other words, they became disciples. Okay? The word taught again, there's the word didasco. Same thing we're talking about. The disciples, that means disciples came out of that. A disciple is a student. A lifestyle, that means a lifestyle had emerged. So, teaching should affect your lifestyle. Are you listening to me? It should affect what? Your lifestyle. What's more, I said, it takes time. Acts 19. Paul. He had 12 men, about 12 men in verse 7 in Ephesus. Then he began to speak for 3 months in verse 8. Then some folks did not believe. So he separated then the disciples in verse 9 and taught for how long? Verse 9. Taught for 3 hours? No. He taught daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and he continued for how long? 2 years. That's how people grow spiritually. So teaching takes time. Line upon line, service upon service, meetings upon meetings, to change the way you think. Now, what does that do? Notice that we said it must change the way you think. It must change your lifestyle. Salvation does not change your lifestyle. It is spiritual growth that changes your lifestyle. Salvation changes who you are. You are no longer a sinner, you're not a saint. You are not a son of God. But what will affect your lifestyle is the level of information you get from God's word. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Look at 3 John 2. We saw a bit of this yesterday. 3 John 2. John, speaking here to Gaius. You like Gaius? Do you like Gaius? You want to be like Gaius? 3 John 2. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Now what does he say? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Look at the word. Be in health. It's a Greek word, hugaino, we saw yesterday. It means to be healthy. To be complete. Now, what is it referring to? He said, even as your soul prospers. In other words, the man's spiritual life was prospering. What we can call spiritual growth. How? Spiritual growth is not the number of experiences you have as a believer or number of years you have spent as a Christian. Look at how. Verse 3. For I rejoice, look at your Bible, please don't look at me. When the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as you what? Huh? You walk in the truth. So he was walking in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So he was displaying in his lifestyle the truth. He wasn't just a believer who is born again and has eternal life, but then it has affected the way he was acting. And the only way people's lifestyle can change, I wonder when they say, well, people are bored of going to church, that they know what kind of a church is that? How can you go to church every day? That's a very ridiculous. Why can't you go to church every day? Why can't you go for Christian meetings every day? Why no? Why no? That is the law. That's legalistic. Really? The Bible, they went to church every day. So where do you get your model from? Praise God. A church every day. And all of them were not Levites. And they were at a church. So he's speaking of soundness of mind. Okay? First Timothy chapter 4. So teaching produces healthy Christian living. No, I told you yesterday, there are some Christians that are sick spiritually. They're not feeling fine spiritually. You see symptoms in how they talk. The things they like, how they go after, what they go after. You know, they are not healthy. So you can find a believer who dresses very well and talks very well, speak and spang. He's got Queen's English, rides a good car. All perfume is moving smoothly, but spiritually stinks, dirty. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it's about how you see things, which eventually affects how you act about things, how you view things. So I was wondering why when some folks celebrate believers because of human achievements. It's nice. We shouldn't not celebrate them if they're there, but that's not really who you are spiritually. Paul says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul, what? Prospers. Praise God. So I choose to be healthy spiritually. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul's writing Timothy again. He says to him, he says, take heed unto yourself and unto the teaching. That's what he's referring to, actually. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt what? Save yourself. Is he saved? Timothy is a Christian. And his audience are Christians. Save yourself and them that heard. The word save is sozo, used for healing too. That is, you keep yourself healthy. Healthy, save yourself and those that hear. So if you're a preacher of God's word, it also saves you and those who hear you. That means you're keeping them healthy. Healthy diet. Still out there? Are you out there? So if you do, I don't know what church does spiritual checkup. But if you do spiritual checkup for some believers, you'll find they have eaten so many nonsense in their bloodstream. Where did you get this from? 17 keys to spiritual warfare. I can see this in your blood. You've been reading funny stuff. Oh my God! We check your saliva, spiritual saliva. The way you talk. You're cussing. Oh my God! You have been reading how to bring down your enemies. You are no longer healthy spiritually. You are not doing fine. Are you still there? So there's a healthy diet from the word. Look at Titus 2:2. Titus 2:2. That aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. The word sound in faith is hugaino. Looking fit. That's the word sound. Looking fit. Remember one chief of army staff or defense staff of Nigeria. When the new president, President Buhari came in, they were swearing me. The man's pot belly was so big. You know, you felt he had someone else inside there. And then he was, the president of the country was, he was basically, you know, he wasn't fit. If you give him a gun, I don't think he can carry it. I think so. This is not a definition of character. That's my opinion. I might be wrong. But you see, he said, you'll be sound in faith, that you are healthy in faith. How does this happen? This happens by the kind of teaching that you get. If you have teaching that agrees with your mindset, then you are not healthy. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yes. It's true. Well, what is believers' authority? So believers' authority is when believers start owning companies. in running the corporations of the world. Paul said, and as he was preaching, people got up and said, hey, yes, sir. Said, we are taking over. Then he said, he quoted a verse, so the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Christ, and we shall reign on earth forever. Hey, yes, sir. All of them are sick. Spiritually. They are not healthy. The verse he used is for the resurrection. See, they are not healthy. Oh, yes! See, this is time for manifestation. You are going to manifest. What the Bible says, the manifestation of the sons of God. And I said, you go read it. Manifestation of the sons of God refers to the rapture. So everybody is not healthy. Hey, yes! Tell them. Tell them. You get it. So wrong diet can never make you healthy spiritually. You get it what I'm saying? All right, you should. Someone said, prayer, hear this is lovely. Prayer brings you into God's presence. Praise brings God's presence to you. As he said that, I watched on television. Someone just got up. Everybody's not feeling fine. So they are manifesting symptoms. You know why he doesn't know? Because he never read anything. Then he said, the Bible says God inhabits. That was the scripture. You know, the Bible says God inhabits. That is, he's looking for your praises to stay in. Ha! And the guy continued. Traits of spiritual illness. Are you still there? Come on, church, are you there? Now look at this. I said, spiritual growth or spiritual health is birthed by correct teaching. That's what people call balanced teaching. It's not balanced. It is true teaching. Healthy doctrine. Sound. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at the opposite of that. Paul speaking to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice this. He says, preach what? The message. I want you to notice something quickly because this is vital. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Are you there? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? So he's saying, preach with teaching. The word preach is the word keruso in the Greek, which means to proclaim. Then he says, preach with teaching. Teaching is didache, the one we read earlier. Remember, Acts 2:42. Remember? Now what is didache again? A format. A specific teaching. So, don't just preach out of excitement, okay? Preach the doctrine. Preach the teaching. Proclaim Christ with the teaching. Now look at the next thing, and that's what I wanted to notice. For the time will come. That word is kairos. You didn't say a time, the time. Which means that this happens many times. The time will come, kairos, an occasion will come, and that, I can tell you, this happens a lot to many Christians. The time will come. We're sharing about a fellow dear sister. Were in the 80s, the kind of truths she was exposed to. Not many pastors in Nigeria knew them. she will lead many people to Christ. But along the line, she started reading all those things. And by the time we're talking this story, she was married to an unbeliever. When there was another person like that, she was married to an unbeliever too, and she actually eventually stopped speaking in tongues. She was the first person I knew, or no, not the first person, but she was someone I knew who raised the dead. Because there was someone who died in their estate, and they came like 20 people coming to our house. Please come and pray. We know you can raise this person. A lady. She was in the university then. And then she raised the dead. But after a while, she started listening to other things. For a time will come. When Paul says, they will no longer endure sound teaching. Have you ever heard this before now? Heard this before? Will you be tired of food and start eating feces? We've heard this before now. In Christ, what does Christ has done? He died. He is the blood. I've heard this something else. What do you want? Muzzle? You understand? Let me hear. Say, but time will come when they will no longer endure. That is to bear. That means you need to put up with, praise God, sound teaching. They will no longer endure. Aneko in the Greek means to put up with. Or admit, better still, stronger word, to admit sound teaching. They won't tolerate it again. Someone told the pastor, he said, all these things about being led by the Spirit, speaking in tongues, all these things, he said, they are for campus. He said, we need food on our table. In this Lagos, we need food on our tables. Ah, so that's when we're not married now. We are married, we have problems. All these confession, let's look at principles. A time will come. You hear what I'm saying? When people start saying the truth about what Christ has done and is doing is not good enough. Let's hear other things. I was pastored for someone and we had a pastoral meeting and the founding pastor who actually had handed over the church, but was still like overseeing from where he was. So he sat down and said, I like your teaching, Pastor Shengwai. Tell us about Christ, Jesus, what he has done, redemption, all these great truths, and all that. He said, but there's more to Christianity than that. He said it to my face. He said, I want to bring this man. He's a prophet. He will give us a prophetic dimension. He will speak words. I said, no problem, sir. I didn't start the church. So there's no point fighting with Peter in Jerusalem. So I said, no problem. And did the man come? Did he come? He came around, right? He didn't have a great time. The man came. He came. 2003. He came, and he found out it's not a prophetic church. People were really uncomfortable. Just come and say, just like the widows. Now, we're not widows, we're new creatures in here. Praise God. Oh, I said to you, that magician in your life, there's no magician in my life. Praise God. They will die. No. Jesus said we pray for those who hate us, love them. So he left and he didn't like it. You brainwash these people. No problem. As long as they're washed. All right, let's go. So they will no longer endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. You get it? And they will now what? It says, after what? Their own lusts. That's the word desires. Sincerely, how many of you sometimes, and don't try and play smart on me, you feel like coming to church and just having fun. You know, thank you, sister, you're honest. Somebody say, I know nothing. Remember years back when we, 2005, I think. You guys can remember this? When we said, I said I wanted to explain marriage. Somebody said, no, they were not interested. So they were not interested. So they were not interested. And I said, let's talk about marriage and relationship. Oh, no, we just want to hear faith, prayer. He was that year they got into relationship. That year. Hypocrites. That year. And they almost split the ministry to three. Don't be hypocritical, alright? So sometimes you want to just come to church and have fun. And you know, and feel like, oh God. What can we just have when someone just comes and makes us laugh? You get it? Or just want to come to church and hear about 14 ways to start your business. That's what I need now. Let me tell you the truth. As a person, in the natural, what I need now is not who I am in Christ. Do you get it? Now, I'm telling you, so you cannot pretend. You dare not pretend. You get what I'm talking about? I want to put you in a trap. You know, you feel like, can someone just come up and tell us? You see, that's what Paul was saying. They're not hip-hop teachers after their own laws. Praise God. So let us have an entrepreneurship week. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. He said the hip-hop teachers, and I love the word hip-hop. Not that I don't love it. Well, I love it. The word hip-hop there is the word episoreo. E-P-I-S-O-R-E-U-O. E-P-I-S-O-R-E-U-O. It means to accumulate. It's actually to choose. I don't want this. I want that. To accumulate. To accumulate. So you begin to look for people who will say exactly what you want. Someone coming up and say, well, the Lord is saying right now, a seed will meet every need. That God does not expect you to work for a living. What? He wants you to give for a living. You that you're already lazy. What this is? You're already lazy. So you scream, tell me something. I've been saying this. I've been saying this for a while. That it's not just about prayer or the leading of the spirits. Ah, yeah. Say, God wants you to give. Then they begin to teach you. Don't you know that this world is by seeds? What do you mean? Everything in this world is by seeds. You put it down as a seed. This is a seed. Oh, yeah. What's a seed? Money. So you work for a living. No, for a giving. Oh, hallelujah. You are heaping up teachers after yourself. Praise the Lord. So that's what they do. They heap up teachers. They accumulate teachers after their own lust. Now watch something. It says, having what? Verse 3. Having what? Itching ears. Now that itching ears is a word. It's the word netho in the Greek. K-N-E-T-H-O. It means something that tickles you. How many of you try to use cotton boards? Use cotton boards? You know that feeling? You don't like it? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That lovely. My brother then, when he uses the cotton board, I always ask him, are you sure this is what you use it for, an air or engine? Because this looks like engine, this looks like engine oil. He's always coming out yellow, full yellow. Because he does it maybe once in 3 months. So he does it just to see. So things that tickle your fancy. Slap 6 people and tell them, it is your day. You get it? It's, you know, it's nice to hear that. That you look beautiful. You have the, how can you tell everybody you look beautiful? That's really not true. Even the Bible says, not many noble after the flesh. That's just deceiving, tickling your fancy. Well, tell me, I see greatness in you. You say, I see greatness in you. You know, that's just tickling your fancy. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you look at people near you and think, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say. No, really. Praise the Lord. We choose to be healthy. Amen. And how can we be healthy? By reading all of God's word. Is that okay? And being taught. It's just the same way. You go into, now, for some of us, we're not heaping up teachers, but teachings. You can, you know, there was a brother I gave a website to, and I said, go study these things and download them. And the first thing he went for was 10 questions. 10 questions. You know 10 questions? You know 10 questions? What are 10 questions? How Christ died? You know 10 questions? He went for 10 questions. I said, in the whole series, he saw a law in Genesis. He saw salvation. The one that matters, salvation. He didn't go to salvation. He saw prayer. Evangelism. He went for 10 questions. You know, that's, he wants something that tickles his ears. Hallelujah. There are many of us who need to change our lifestyle. You need to get a hold of all of God's word. That's how you are going to be healthy. Prayer. There's prosperity in the word. Amen. There's healing in it. There's also service. Right? There's giving. There's receiving. There's walking in love. There's forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying? There's walking in the spirit. There's fasting. 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 Hallelujah. Uh-huh. There's moderation in the way you dress. There's moderation in the way you speak. It's all in the word. And that is how you can be healthy. That's how you can be healthy. You cannot be healthy if you say, I just want to hear about, all I want to hear about right now is that I'm forgiven. My sins are forgiven. That's not all that is in the word. Things that tickle you. Notice some folks that all they want to hear from Saints Community Church is redemption. 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 Grace. We're not talking about World Changers Conference. They won't come. But they will come for camp meeting. When we speak about prayer, we want to pray, they will not come. Let's go out. Some of you, you come, you hear the word, but you don't go out on evangelism. Look at your neighbor and say, is that you? Not me, what's me? Look at your neighbor. Is that you? Itching ears. Hallelujah. Something that tickles you. Tickles your fancy. Now quickly look at this. So in Luke, in John 14 verse 12, and that's our text really. Praise the Lord. You know, I say some of those things to just prepare our hearts for spiritual growth. Alright? John 14, 12. Are you there? Alright, good. I'm not there myself. Just got there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this because shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Greater works than this, because I go unto my Father. Now, we want to study this, the meaning of this text, very well, because it's going to lay a good foundation for what we are teaching right now. Now, in John 5:39, Jesus said that, he says, Jesus said, In John 5:39, says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but that they will testify of me." So the scriptures do testify of Christ. Now look at John 14:12. "He that believes on me." Okay? Now mark that statement, "he that believes on me." Jesus used that statement several times. And we're going to look at it now. What did he mean? "He that believes on me." Now the first place you need to check out is John 1:12. "As many as believe, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." On his name. John 1:12. First place. Look at John 3:15. John 3:15, not 16, 15. "Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now mark that, that is vital. Jesus says, "whosoever believes in him," as though he's talking about somebody else. But he's talking about himself. "Whosoever believes in him," because the previous verse says, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he's referring to his death. 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 18, "He that believes on him is not condemned." Now look at 36. "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life." So, John 1:12, John 3:15, John 3:16, John 3:18, John 3:36. Everyone talks about life or eternal life. Look at John 6:26. Not 26. John 6:29. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who has he has sent." This is the work of God. You believe on him who he has sent. Mark that. It's coming out later. Verse 35. "I am the bread of life. He that comes shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." So how many do we have now? We read 7. 6 are particular. Alright. Look at verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I raise him up at the last day." Are you there? John 7. John 7. Verse 38. Are you there? Let's take it together. John 7, 38. Are you there? Let's go. "He that believes on him, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of" what? "The Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So notice this, "he that believes on me," again, now John 12:44. This is very key. "He that believes on me, believes not on me, but on him that sent me." So, to believe God is to believe in Jesus. Is that okay? To believe in God is to believe in Christ. Now go to John 14:1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." So, he's repeating that statement, "he that believes in me," or "believe also in me," or "believe in me." Look at 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Now, Mark, this is key. For the very work's sake. What's work? Chapter 10, verse 38. He said that to someone. Or to some folks. If I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. John 10, 38. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Father. Now, what does it mean, believe the works? This story started from chapter 9 when he met the blind man. And he asked him, who sinned, this man or his parents? And then Jesus said, no one did. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me. This is the day. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can walk. So in other words, he was referring to miracles. Are you there? Are you there? So he says, if you don't believe in me, just for, believe me for the miracle's sake. Are you there? Are you following this? Now notice this. Very carefully. When Jesus kept saying, believe in me or believe on me, he's referring to a post-resurrection activity. Not a present tense thing. He's referring to believe on me when I'm raised from the dead. Everything we have read so far is in his resurrection. Everything we have read is post-resurrection. It's not believing in Christ of the four gospels. In the four gospels. It's believe in Christ raised from the dead. That's what he's talking about. Believe in me. So, this is important. The message of the gospel is critical here. It's vital and fundamental. In other words, Jesus is referring to the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel of his resurrection. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes what? He that believes that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Are you listening? Very good. So, he's referring to a post-resurrection activity. So, when it says, he that believes on me shall never die, but have everlasting life. He's referring to when he is raised from the dead. People believed in Jesus as anointed of God in the four gospels, and they were healed in their bodies. He's talking about those folks. Folks believed he could multiply food, and he did. They believed he could heal their bodies, and he did. He's not referring to that. Believe that the Holy Ghost is in me. He's referring to his resurrection. He that believes on me. Praise the Lord. Now go to John 14 back. So that's the first thing we've seen. He that believes on me. Then one word we want to quickly look at is because I go unto my Father. Let's see that term again. I go to my Father. What does it mean? Now Jesus went many places in his earthly life. Acts 10:38 says he went everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But this is a very specific journey. Because I go to my Father. Just take a few steps, the very second verse in this chapter. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. What is it now? I what? I go to prepare a place for you. He says that statement two times. In verse 3, he repeats it. If I go and prepare a place for you. Now, notice what he says. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, open your ears very well to this explanation. If you're a student, God bless you to hear this. He said, now I was saying for a student, I'm not talking about undergraduates or secondary school students. So don't think that's what I'm talking about. Those are, oh, no, I left school some some 60 years ago. Now he's not talking about it. Now, he says, look at what he says. In my father's house, there are many mansions, all right? If you are not so, I have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, let's take three together. I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, mark that. Where I am. So he said, where I am. Now watch this. The word house is the word oika in Greek. It means a place of dwelling. House. Oika is not used for a city. So, in my father's house, he's not talking about a city. It's where you stay. A house. Now, he says, there are many mansions. Now, like I've always explained to you, even literally, you cannot have mansions in a house. So, we need to consult, okay, the original meaning of those words. You can't see someone else. How many mansions are in this house? The day you go back to school. Alright? Now, the word mansion is the word mone, taken from the Greek word meno. I want you to observe this careful use of the words by Jesus. He repeats that word in verse 23, mone, which is from meno. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our mone with him. So, mone is an individual dwelling. A place where one's individual stays. So, Jesus is referring to just one spot, one position. In my father's house, there are many mansions. That's a little bit contradictory. Many individual places. I go to prepare a place for you. The word prepare is etoimazo in the Greek. Etoimazo. It actually means to make ready. I don't know if you have ever sent your brother or your kids. You told them, go and make that bed for me. Who went to Bonnie House here? Nobody went to Bonnie House. Not the Bonnie House of some people that take conflicts. That's not boarding house, that's restaurant house. I mean, boarding house, real boarding houses. How many of you used to carry all the metal boxes to school? That you use padlock. You carry them to school. You use padlock. Then you hide the provisions under. Alright? When the seniors got a hold of us, we started hiding our provisions in the rock. We'll go and put provisions in the rock. So we'll go in the evenings to go and take them. They will be eating in the bush. So when I became a senior, I became suspicious of junior boys. You know, when you have done something before, or people, where are you going to that bush? We're just going to do what? Let's go together. Because I've done it before. All right now. To make ready. So when you say, go and make that bed for me. So, he makes it fit for you to lie on. Right? That means before Jesus went to the Father, the place was not ready. Now, in many kind of theologies, assume that Jesus went to prepare an estate. So, as he entered heaven, all the angels brought out bulldozers, payloaders, and then they started working. Then we're walking. And they say, what do you want? What kind of house do you want? They'll say, face me, I face you. No problem. Why is he? What kind of building do you want? we begin to now begin to fantasize. I want a swimming pool that has no foundation. It's just being in the air, so I can be swimming in the air. All right, so you begin to think, what did Jesus mean? Look at the construction of words. In my Father's place, there are many oikos. That is where individuals can be. I go to make it ready for you. Not for my Father. Again, he didn't say, in my Father's house, there will be many. Mm-mm. There are many. So I go to prepare a place for us, which means he's going to make it fit. Or let's put it the right way. He's going to make us fit to dwell there. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I go to prepare a place for you. So look at the operative words. Notice what he says. There's a word. Sometimes we lose what he said. He said, where I am, you may be also. Where I am, you may be also. Let's go over again. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. So, oika is saying, the word mone is saying, that is, where I stand, that's where you will be. Right? Come on, are you there? The minute he's here and we are here is no longer a mone. It has to be the same spot. If it's a bed, the same bed. If it's a seat, the same seat. Let me see if I'm following this. Come on. Are you following this? If it's a swimming pool, the same swimming pool. Praise God. So the same. So I said the same. So look at the key words. He said, where I am, there you will be. He didn't say, where I will be, there you will be. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for me. I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, not where I will be, then there you will be. Say, where I will be, that means I'm going to prepare a place for us. Are you following this? Okay, good. Look at the key word. So, you know, just like many of us have got to wonder, Jesus and his parables. And they say, what's my Lord? We cannot know where you go. How can we know the way? Their minds were already in which way? Which way? So I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Okay? If you have known me, you'll have known my Father also. And we have seen him. Then he says, and Philip said, look, this teaching series is still getting long. Show us quickly the Father. Have I been so long time with you? Please don't forget what we said. Where I am, you may be also. Please follow this. Have I been so long with you? Are you following this? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Let's take 10 together. Everybody, let's go. Hold on. Where is he? Where is he? Now, where did he say we will be? Where he is. Okay, go on now. Where I am, you'll be. Okay, let's take 10 again one more time. Believe thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. So the Father and Jesus were in the same poika. They were in the same mone. It was a mone. They were staying in the same place. You can't see Jesus and not see the Father. Are you getting this? Are you following this? Is it getting clear? Alright. So he's not talking about going to build a city in heaven. Mm-mm. Where I am, there you will be. So, what was Jesus saying? He is saying, you will be in the Father. And the Father will be in you. In other words, you will be in the same place with God. Come on, praise God. So follow this. Believe me, verse 11. He kept saying it. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Glory to God. So he's saying, don't you know that I am the Father's presence? He lives in me. I live in him. There's a union between us. Okay. And so in verse 12, are you following this now? He said, believe me for the very work's sake. That is, look, if you didn't know this before, look at the things I have done. I hope somebody is following this. Can't you see the miracles and the signs and the wonders? The words that I've spoken. The words of power. It shows the Father lives in me. Oh, hallelujah. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Is it making sense now? Is it making sense now? He that believes on me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who believes this? He that believes the gospel. He that believes that God raised Jesus from the dead. He that believes on me. The very works that I do shall he do also. Now, does it make sense now? Does it make sense? Because he that believes will dwell in the mansion. Okay? And, listen now. He that believes, are you following this? Will dwell in the mansion. I go to prepare a place for you. He that believes, the very works that I do, he will do. Why would he be able to do the work? He now said, and greater, because I go, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you get it now? So that where I am, there you will be also. Glory to God. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? It says the works I do, you will do, and greater. Look at that terminology again. Look at 20 and 23. Verse 20. He that keeps my commandments and keeps them, has my command keeps them. He that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him. Okay, no, verse 20. Can we take 20 together? At that day, glory to God. Are you reading what I'm reading? Are you reading what I'm reading? How did we read this thing for estates? How did we get to think we're talking about estates? In my Father's house, there are many mansions there. A dear old sister. She supposedly died. And then she came back to life. Way back in our fellowship meetings. And then she came up to say that when she died and she got to heaven. And then she saw the house she was building. And it was an uncompleted building. Who was building it? She said, the angel stopped work. Where did she get that text from? John 14. He doesn't say the angel said, I will prepare. So if there's anybody that stopped work, it was Jesus that stopped work. Was he tired? Or hungry or angry? She said, then the house was uncompleted. And so she stayed in there. And there was no roof. Because her spiritual life was start and stop. So sometimes the bricks will fall. Sometimes the plastering will fade off and all that in heaven. In other words, there was decay in heaven. You get it? She was bringing a little picture and she was saying it. I was thinking in my head. If this sister has a one bedroom. They wouldn't even allow me to stay on the road. Where would I get the house? Me? She now said, there was no roof. Then it now began to rain. Somehow I stopped. You know, sometimes if you, a lie is just good if you can stop it at a point. It was, you know what I'm saying? I said, rain. But I kept quiet. But when the brethren are in the meeting, she said, Say, brethren, say, Jesus, now send her back. So she can put a roof on it. Say, brethren, let us watch our lives. So. Then one brother who was behind me said, me, I just want to get there. House or no house. Can you see what unhealthy teaching produces? Some stupidity. House or no? Let me just get there. I say, at least I won't go to hell. It's the hell that is in his mind. How can you be comfortable with a house without a roof? Forever. Are you still out there? We are where he is. Say, we are where he is. Glory to God. Look at 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Praise God. We'll make our moneer with him. Now watch this. He said, I go to my Father. Notice that terminology, I go to my Father. It's assumed in people's minds that he's talking about the rapture. That is why we misunderstood it. We're committed in this ministry, and we're going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Among many other ministries, we're going to help many churches to get correct Bible interpretation. Because imagine, how did we ever think he was referring to the rapture? Because we refuse to read everything together. You know, some people, they just read for revs, in my Father's house. The Holy Spirit is saying they are mansions. Mansions. The Holy Spirit didn't stop there. He kept talking. Watch when he says, I go to my Father. Let's see what he says about it. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. What he was saying was a temporary trip. Yet a little while. Can you see it? Come on, church. Are you following this? The world sees me no more, and you see me because I leave, you shall leave. At that day. The day they will see him. The world wouldn't see him, but the believer will see him. At that day. Are you following this? Look at John 15, 26. In a little while. Praise God. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So he said, I will send from the Father. Don't forget, I go to my Father. Are you following this? I will send from the Father. Now look at chapter 16. It's expedient, chapter 16, verse 7, that I go away. For if I don't, I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Praise God. Are you listening to this? So there were going to be events associated with his going. I will send the Comforter to you. I will send him to you. Are you following this, church? Come on, are you following this? Look at verse 16. Watch this again. Let's say 16 together. 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. So whatever he was talking about was temporary. A little while. The word little while, look at 19. Do you inquire among yourselves? Or what I said, little while, you shall see me. And again, little while, you shall see me. He's saying, what do you think I'm talking about? They didn't know he was going to die. A little while you will see me. A little while you will see me anymore. Look at verse 20 and 22. Verily I say, that you shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Praise God. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, but because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of a child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Praise God. So Jesus is talking about pain and sacrifice. You shall now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. That's not rapture. Praise God. In that day, glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? The word little while is from the word makros. Makros in the Greek. Makros. It actually means short time, small, is used for a short distance. Matthew 26:39. It's used for a short time. Matthew 26:27. Matthew 26:27. 73, sorry. Matthew 26:73. a short time, something not significant. Matthew 27, verse 73. So 26, verse 73. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, after a while. That means within the same day. So the word makros is so short. Jesus is referring to the 3 days and three nights. A little while. I will come again to you. Praise God. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Is this clear to you? Is this clear to you? A little while I'll come again to you. Now, how is he going to come? I will send the Spirit. Praise God. Are you listening? Is this getting clear to you? Is this getting clear to you? I will send the Spirit to you. I will come. Now look at this. Jesus was definitely discussing post-resurrection realities. I'll go to prepare a place for you. Go to John 20. John 20, 17. Now, this is a very important fact, and I put it in my notes. I said, it's a key, what we're going to read now is a key fact. A key revelation, because only one person recorded this, and that was John. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, pay attention, Mary Magdalene saw him before the process was completed. And that was vital. Now, when he rose from the dead, he now met Mary. Mary now went and, oh, Mary, oh, Rabboni, verse 16. She actually hugged him. And he says, don't hold me any longer. That's the word, touch me not. I am not yet ascended to my Father. So, what he said he was going to do, he had not done it. At this material point in time, even though he was raised from the dead, he's no longer in the grave. We're not going to be where he was. So I'm not yet ascended. But he was already alive from the dead. This is a very vital fact because we're going to touch it. Are you still there? A key fact. Watch this. I'm not yet ascended unto. Now, Jesus is no longer discussing the resurrection now because he's already alive. Come on. Hey, church, are you following what I'm saying here? He's not discussing the resurrection now. I am not yet ascended. Glory to God. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say, I ascend unto my... That what I told them, I'm about to do it. So everything we read is about post-resurrection. So, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just rise from the dead. There was a part of it that is in our gospel. He ascended to the Father. Come on, guys. Are you there? Good. He ascended to the Father. When was this? Please note this. Note this. So, here she doesn't hear from the dead. He's no longer in the grave. Mary sees him. And he says, oh, don't hold me, Father. I'm not yet gone. I'm on my way. I'm going to the Father. He's already alive. I'm going to the Father. So now go to my brethren. Okay? And tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And in verse 18, she told them, she has seen the Lord. And has spoken these things unto her. Let's take 19 together. That same. So this is a very, when we talk about the resurrection of Christ, this is a relevant activity. It's not just the fact that he rose from the dead. Are you listening? It's the fact that he is ascended. Glory to God. You gotta catch this. Come on. He is ascended. He came to the earth alive. Okay? Then he now ascended. A key fact. Now, every time Peter and others taught this and preached, they preached this alongside the resurrection. That is why we don't usually see the distinction. Paul was the one who made it so clear. Peter also did anyway, in fairness to his epistles. But you see, It was taught alongside. So we don't see the relevance. So every time we talk about Jesus and he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead, he rose from the dead. No. He rose from the dead and now ascended. Hallelujah. That ascension is important. You know why? So where I am, you will be also. Because what he promised to do was going to happen not at the resurrection, but at what? The ascension to the Father. So this fact must not be lost on us. Is somebody listening to this? Now follow through. Look at how Peter preached this. Acts 2:32. Are you learning something? Oh, come on, church. Are you learning something? Acts 2:32. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, glory to God. What is therefore? Huh? Because of this. So, ascension to the right of the Father had to only happen, was going to happen upon his resurrection. Are you there? Are you listening now? Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, remember? He has shed for this which you now see and hear. Is somebody following this? Are you following this? Verse 33, verse 34. David is not ascending to the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes the footstool. Verse 36. Let all house of Israel know shortly that God had made the same Jesus whom you had crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. So there's a vital truth in here. In Mark 16, quickly, this is vital. Mark 16, where it says, go into all the world, pray to God for every creature. The Bible says in 19, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Mark that. He sat on the right hand of God when he had spoken to them. So mark that, we're coming there. So he that believes the gospel that Jesus rose from the dead, not he that believes that Jesus is anointed. There are people, you know, who believe that in the four gospels and never even got saved. Praise God. He said, because I ascend unto my Father. Where I am, there you will be also. Let me ask a question. Has he fulfilled this promise? Come on, has he fulfilled this promise? Did he ascend? Is he there now? Who else is there? Hallelujah. I like how Mark Hankins says it. Pastor Mark Hankins. He says, whenever finally you die, you're going to go home and die, and you get to heaven, that won't be your first time there. Hallelujah. Sounds so cool. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So where I am, there you will be also. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you still there? So when Jesus said, he that believes in me, the very works I do, he will do. And greater. Because I go to my Father. What does it mean? Because I prepared a place for him. And where I am, the believer is. He that believes now is in unity with deity. The believer is one with Christ. The believer is in Christ. When you see that truth in Christ, this is what it means. It means we're in the same monad. We're in the same place. But religion, as we call it, has postponed these realities to the future. It has postponed this fact. Or it has distorted it in our minds to mean heaven. When you get to heaven, you know, heaven, there's a city. See, in fact, there's a song like that. Sion, you know that song? Sion, you. And the woman that sang that song was crying. Well, her voice sounded crying. Hallelujah. Jesus said, your sorrow will be for 3 days. Then I'll come again.
And they returned to John. Said, in that day, you ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. In that day, hallelujah, whatever you demand, it will be done. Hallelujah. Say greater works. Say greater works. Say greater works. Say greater works. Let me take you back to last week before we close. Remember last week, we said the church in Acts and the church in the epistles did not have the privilege of reading the four gospels. That means they understood the gifts of the Spirit without reading the life history of Jesus. They walked in it. They saw it. They had performed miracles, signs, and wonders before somebody wrote down Jesus' miracles. In other words, God expects us to communicate these truths and receive them by revelation. By revelation. And what the word says, I am. I am in him now. I am in him now. When he ascended to the Father, he ascended from me. He sat down at the right of the Father. I'm seated there now. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. I don't have my own abilities. I have his abilities. His abilities are my abilities. The Father dwells in me. He walks in me, and he walks through me. The works of Christ are made manifest through my life. I walk miracles. I live in them. In the name of Jesus, I walk in miracles and I live in them. I do greater works because where he is, I am also. Lift your hands toward heaven and be.